Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Is Brad Nessler, friend of the show. And Brad, welcome back in to Dukes and Bell. A couple of years ago, we all felt like it might have been LSU's year, right? They beat Alabama during the season. You know, they end up beating Georgia in the SEC championship game. And you're kind of like, okay, this is their year. I know you've been to every stadium. You're calling all the games throughout the course of the year. Has this year felt that way as you've watched Georgia?
Carl, Mike, first of all, I didn't know I was going to be the strong arm story of the day, so I'm very proud of it.
Yes, the silky smooth sounds of Brad Nessler. You are that man.
Yeah, I guess so, Carl. You know, haven't seen them as many times as I've seen them. I've probably seen every one of their games on tape if I didn't see it in person. It feels that way. It doesn't feel, you know, like the record-breaking offense and all that kind of stuff that LSU had, because that was just off the charts, and there were a lot of NFL guys coming off that team. I don't know if there's anybody that's really a high-round NFL-type guy on Georgia's offense, but I love the way they play together, and I think there's quite a few guys on their defense that are going to be playing in the NFL. So it's a little bit different from that standpoint is, you know, those guys were scoring 52 points a game or whatever it was, and they were just steamrolling everybody. Georgia's steamrolling everybody, but they're doing it in a little bit different fashion.
I'm always intrigued when you and Gary Danielson sit down with the coaches because, you know, there's such like a mythology now about Saban, like, as if he's like humorless and, you know, he doesn't have like a lighter side. But, I mean, what has he said about whatever you could share? What has he said about this team? And there are some limitations, it looks like, from previous Bama teams.
Yeah. You know, he knows, Mike, that, you know, he told us, I don't know if it was last week or the week before, because I've had him 2 weeks in a row and it's going to be 3 weeks on Saturday. Recently, I'll put it that way.
Right.
He's talking about his offensive line, and everybody kind of knows that's one of their trouble spots. You know, they can't get the right tackle situation figured out, whether it's Damian George or Chris Owens, or, you know, and they move around the center spot because of injuries and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, he goes to us a couple days ago, usually on our offensive line, we have three NFL draft choices, and one's a one, and another one might be a one, and then we might have a three. And they only got one this year, and that's Evan Neal on the left side. So he knows he's got limitations there. The backfield's depleted, and that's because of the injury. It's nothing, you know, that they did wrong recruiting or anything. They had four really good guys, and now they're down to one and a half, and we don't even know about Brian Robinson. So it might just be the half, and that's Trey Sanders. So, yeah, they're different. They're just not as dominating as they always have been, and the shoe's kind of on the other foot. You know, they're winning close games, and Georgia's blowing people out. So, like Carl said, it's kind of like LSU and somebody blowing people out, but Georgia's doing it a different way.
It's Brad Nessler, guys. You hear him each and every week. You watch him on CBS, the voice of the SEC. I don't know if we've seen Nick Saban as happy. And maybe it was you who said it last week when I was watching the game, Auburn and Alabama, and you were like, I don't know if I've seen him this happy. He was ecstatic about winning that game, and it was kind of weird because the task is not done. And I think Coach Saban, you know, he's always about winning championships and winning the SEC. But winning that game, was that like just a relief that we saw from Coach Saban last week?
Yeah, I think a little bit, Carl. You know, when he talked to Jamie going into the locker room at halftime, he's like, he just pretty much laid it on the line what they had to do, and that, you know, he was going to basically, he told us afterwards, told him, you guys aren't having fun, and you're just, you know, and he was smiling. I was like, oh my God, this is different, you know? And yeah, I think he was relieved for sure. I think he was happy they won. I think he was proud that they won, that they fought back. They've had five games, you know, and maybe all five of the games I've done, I don't know, that were a touchdown or less difference. And so, you know, they've had to survive. So so many games to get to 11-1. And then if you think about it, they had a touchdown lead in the fourth quarter at A&M and let it slip away and then lost on the last second field goal. So they could easily be 12-0 with a whole bunch of close games, and Georgia's 12-0 with a whole bunch of blowouts. I don't know. Georgia's won 10 of their 12 by 24 points or whatever it is, or more. So I think he's happy to be in this situation and to be able to play for not only an SEC championship, but a berth in the college football playoff if they pull an upset, which you never say upset. Somebody said to me the other day, when's the last time you did Alabama when they were an underdog? I go, I don't know if I've ever done Alabama when they were an underdog.
Nice.
Maybe way back in, you know, Mike Shula days or something like that, I probably did a game where maybe they weren't favored, but I can't remember one, you know? So right. That's the way it is.
Yeah, a young Brad Nessler calling a Mike DuBose game. It is our man Brad Nessler with us here on the WaitForIt.com hotline. The obviously the story about the quarterback and, you know, everybody trying to convince themselves, yeah, Bennett can do it. You've seen this guy do it. JT Daniels would be the guy, obviously, the left or the righty in the bullpen. But how impressed have you been with Bennett and the evolution from where he was last year when he was thrown into it and now this year where he's been the man?
I just think, you know, I remember telling you guys last year it's a cute story, and then it became a story. And now it's, you know, it's Rudy-esque. I don't know what it is. It's just I've been in his corner the whole time because I'm one of those guys that says if it's not broke, don't mess with it. And when we hit about midseason, you know, Gary was still saying, yeah, but if they get behind. And I get it, you know, and they might get behind on Saturday and we might see JT come out and start slinging it all over the place. But they haven't been behind, and they haven't lost a game with Stetson playing. And so, you know, if you really look at the three games he didn't start or whatever, and he kind of prorate his stats, I mean, they're pretty impressive. He's already thrown for 2,000 yards, 21 touchdowns, 5 picks, you know. But he's run for 250, and he keeps plays alive with his feet. I mean, he's had a really good college season for a quarterback. Now, maybe not Bryce Young-ish, Kenny Pickett-ish. You know, some of those guys that throw it 70 times a game at SMU and those places, they don't count. I mean, that doesn't count right now. So if you kind of look at it overall, if he'd have started every game, we don't know where his stats would be. And I don't think he's ever thrown more than 17, 18 passes in a game, you know. So if he had to swing it that many times, I still think he can get it done. I really like the way he plays. I've been in his corner the whole time. And if it goes to hell in a handbasket on Saturday and JT Daniels has to come in and save the day, so be it. Maybe that would make Georgia fans happy. I don't know. But we've seen backup quarterbacks before in this game in Mercedes-Benz Stadium, and it's usually Alabama's backup quarterbacks that's getting it done. So who knows? Maybe JT comes in and has a huge game. But I'm a Stetson Bennett fan.
Yeah, and you know what, Ness? I think he's created a lot more folks who are in his corner with the way that he's played. You know, I think people kept waiting for him to make those mistakes, and as the season has moved on, he just hasn't. He's been great, and you got to give him credit for that. Brad Nessler, the voice of the SEC, joining us here on Dukes and Bell, part of our strong arm story of the day.
Yeah, that's right, pal. How you like them apples?
Hey, Ness, as we talk about Alabama and Georgia, I'm just curious, now that we've gotten to this point in the season, the SEC, you know, you had COVID and you had seniors coming back and the extra year eligibility. This year, college football was weird in that way, wasn't it? Like, the vulnerability of everybody, it was like everybody was better because of the experience they got with a lot of guys coming back. Did you feel that way?
Yeah, Arkansas especially, Carl. I mean, if they didn't have their, I don't know, I think they had 12 super seniors, something like that. And, you know, they just wanted to come back for Sam. And because a lot of those guys aren't going to play on Sunday, so they just wanted to play another year. That made them the team they were. The super seniors on that team were definitely the reason that Arkansas was as good as it was and a really good quarterback and all that. But, you know, Sam would tell you, too, that if those three linebackers didn't come back, they were super seniors and a couple of defensive linemen. He had a couple transfers and that kind of thing. So, yeah, it's made it a little bit different for a lot of people. And we've seen the extra year eligibility in a lot of cases that actually made some guys that maybe wouldn't have any chance to play in the NFL, actually by coming back, have put themselves at least in the marketplace to be lower round draft choices or free agents, that type of thing.
It is our man Brad Nessler, as Carl says, the voice of the SEC, and he's calling us, I presume, from Stately Ness Manor right now here on the WaitForIt.com hotline. The other story, obviously, throughout this last couple of days has been all these coaching moves. I mean, it's
yeah.
Did you ever think that, like, no disrespect to LSU, but that Notre Dame would be looking up at LSU as far as prestige and the kind of juice that LSU threw at Kelly to get him?
That's, you know, that one's the one that kind of freaks me out. The Lincoln Riley one doesn't at all to me. I thought it was time maybe for him to go if he got an opportunity either in the NFL or someplace else. And I think he saw the handwriting on the wall that you're not going to be Oklahoma or Texas and come into the SEC and, you know, win 11 games a year. It's probably not going to happen. You're going to be lucky if you win 9. And so it's better to go Pac-12 and recruit like crazy out there. And he already got his quarterback, 5-star quarterback to transfer out there. So, I mean, that was a cool move for him. Brian Kelly thing, I did not see that coming at all. And that one kind of blew me away a little bit. But, yeah, you know, $95 million does a lot of crazy things to people, you know. And so, I mean, I get it. I know the people aren't happy. The Notre Dame people aren't happy with him, even his ex-players and ex-coaches and all that kind of stuff. And then I thought that it would be an automatic that they would throw a Brinks truck, you know, at Luke Fickell. And that's not happening either because I guess it's Marcus Freeman. So it's funny. You go from being somebody's defensive coordinator to go to someplace else and you end up being a head coach with a higher prestige than the guy you just left as a coordinator. I don't get how it works, man. But yeah, it's like you guys, you know, you guys like make more money than me and I don't really know how to deal with it.
Stop, Ness. Hey, come on.
Hey, Brett, you know, I'm telling you, we can get you a beer. I think a Nestler Scotch, Carl. You know what I mean? Nestler Black Label. Yeah.
Actually, I told Bo when he asked, you know, you got any time on Thursday? I said, yeah, but can you make it after 5? And he said, why? You worried about how many people are listening? I said, no, I wanted to have a scotch in my hand while I was talking to the boys.
That's right.
So I do have one. And I'll tell you one other story, just kind of a sidebar. I am downtown at the hotel so I can be with my crew, even though this is a home game for me. And so, but I brought my lovely bride with me and she's in the other room and she's about halfway through a 6-pack of Hey Man watermelon. So
hey!
Nice.
That's awesome.
I don't even know if I can get her out tonight to eat, you know, because she's
Hey, Ness, they go down so easy. They go down so easy.
That's true. It's true.
I know. That's what she's telling me. She's going this water and it goes down so easy. Yeah,
A lot of flavor in there, brother.
Value.
Hey, man. Well,
no, she says there's a lot of bang for the buck in these things, and I go, I know. I got it.
We will work. I know what that should be our next thing. We got to get a scotch. We get Ness involved. You know,
Brett.
And that. So Miss Nancy, that is the strong arm story of the day.
Yes, it is. There it is right there. Ness, man, thank you so much. Have a great call on Saturday. We're looking forward to the game. I know you guys are, you and Gary and everybody. So appreciate the time today, as always.
All right, fellas. We'll get together when it's all over, and we'll have the other half of Nancy's 6-pack.
Yes, sir.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.